O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Lord, as we come to celebrate this time of communion, Father, we want your Son to be rightly magnified. I pray that you would bless this time as we spend time in your word considering these things. And Jesus, it is always in your great name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we are spending time in God's word, we want to make sure that you have a copy of God's word in your lap. So some men are going to go ahead and distribute those Bibles. So if you don't have a copy, go ahead and raise your hand and they'd be happy to hand that out. And if you don't have that copy and you're getting that, you can keep that. That can be your gift from us. As those are going out, go ahead and please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Our time this morning is going to be in verses 9 and 10, 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10. The larger context for this passage is what we actually read earlier during the scripture reading, and it's all about love. True love is the love of God. True love is from God, and true love can only be experienced and expressed by believers. We're all influenced by the culture's views and definitions of love. But this morning, we're going to let God's word teach us about his view of love. Our passage this morning, verses 9 and 10, are sandwiched right in between two commands or expectations about how believers are to love one another. The Apostle John wants believers to express the love of God that they have received, what they've been given. He wants them to express that to others, to other believers, to love one another as God has loved them. Given this, we need to understand how God has loved believers. Please follow along as I read 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In these two verses, we're going to see two actions that God's love has for believers. We're going to see, number one, God's love manifested in us. And number two, we're going to see God's love demonstrated for us. Let's first look at God's love manifested in us. Verse 9 says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us. The Apostle John, speaking of himself and these believers that he's writing to, says that God's love was manifested in them. This is an event that happened in the past to these believers. These believers didn't do something. It was done to them. This happened when God saved them and put his Spirit in them. And every true believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. How is this love of God manifested in believers? Look again at verse 9. It says that God, speaking of God the Father, God has sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. Jesus came into the world, lived a perfect life, and accomplished his atoning work. Why? Look again at the rest of verse 9. So that we might live through him. The love of God was effectively manifested in believers when God saved them. And the Father's sending the Son into the world is an event that occurred in the past that has ongoing effects in the present for believers. God the Father saved believers so that they would live through Christ. The second action of God's love for believers is, number two, God's love demonstrated for us. Look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God wants to show us and explain to us what true love is. And he starts off by telling us what it's not. It's not us loving God. Believers did not love God. He acted first. And outside of God placing his Holy Spirit within us, we have not and cannot truly love God. In contrast to that, God shows us what love truly is. Look at the rest of verse 10. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God did two things in the past. First, he loved us. He loved these believers before they loved him. He placed his perfect, unconditional love upon those that were in rebellion against him. And then second, he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. In sending his son into the world, God the Father intended for his son to die on the cross. He sent his son to be the propitiation. That word means the wrath-satisfying sacrifice. Jesus lived a perfect life and never sinned. So why is he bearing wrath? Look at the final phrase of verse 10. For our sins. Jesus bore the wrath for the sins, the transgressions, the rebellion of believers. Every person has sinned and stored up wrath for themselves. But on the cross, Jesus went in place of these believers as their substitute. He bore the wrath that they deserved. He suffered and died in their place. This wrath-satisfying sacrificial event took place in the past. It was completed in the past. It was finished. And I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice that word, the. God the Father sent his son to be the propitiation. That definite article means that there is only one propitious sacrifice. This is the only one that was necessary, and there is only one that was given. It was sufficient. It was sufficient for all sins of all believers for all time, past, present, and future. All of them. That's God's love demonstrated for believers. And that's why we set aside this time every week here at Grace Bible Church so that we can remember what he accomplished at the cross. We do this by taking a little cracker and a little cup of juice. The cracker represents the Lord's body. The cup of juice represents his blood that was shed. And as we do this, as we take these elements, we remember and proclaim what he did on the cross for believers. And the Lord's Supper is only for believers. It's only for those that know Jesus, love Jesus, and follow Jesus. So if by your own admission you would say you're not a follower, you don't know or you don't love Jesus, then when those elements come, we ask that you would just simply pass them by. If you have any questions about what it means to be a follower, to know Jesus, to love Jesus, please come talk to me, talk to the person who came, that you came with, talk to any one of the other pastors. We'd love to talk to you about these things. This is also a time for believers to examine themselves. We're warned not to take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. If you have any known unrepentant sin, go ahead, confess that. Confess it right now and repent. Turn from it and partake. Believer, consider the love of God, the love of God the Father that was demonstrated when he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for your sins, for your sins. The one and only all-sufficient sacrifice for your sins. There's nothing left for you to accomplish. He did all of it. And because of that sacrifice and that atoning work, you get to continue to live in this life through him. And when this life is over, you get to be with him. Consider these things. And when your hearts are prepared, go ahead and take the elements on your own.